So after the theoretical presentation of Pasquale, I will continue with the AquaCrop, but now we have a closer look at the software. So in the software, when you launch the software, you end up in the main menu. In the main menu, you have a database and you have a simulation part. And in the database, the user can select or create files, and these are climate files, crop files, soil files, or management files, as was already mentioned by Pasquale. So the files, a set of files that describe the environment in which the crop develops, and the climate files contain the weather data, and to answer that question there, so there are rain files, there are temperature files, air temperature files, if you work with crop development, and then you have also ETnode files, reference evapotranspiration files. We have separate software to calculate ETnode if you don't have ETnode directly. We have crop files which describe the crop characteristics. We have soil files which describe the soil characteristics, as mentioned by Pasquale, field capacity, wilting point, hydraulic conductivity. We have also field management files, and there we make distinction between irrigation files and then files which looks at the field condition, like the soil fertility, but also field conditions that might affect the soil water balance, as the mulches, which limit soil evaporation, or soil bands around the field, which prevent a surface runoff. Now let's have a quick closer look at one of the files, which is a crop file. So crop file, or each of the files, it has a number of what we call tab keys, tab sheets, and in each of those tab sheets, the user sees some information or specifies some information. So this is a tab sheet where the green canopy cover has to be specified by the user. So it is an interface with the program, because the program is interested in the CCX to do its calculations, and the CCX is the maximum canopy which can be reached when the crop is well watered, of course, and by means of those spin buttons you can increase or decrease the CCX. Another parameter which is required by the program is the CCNode, so which is the canopy cover from the small seedling, and here we have a button to access another menu where the user can specify the planting density to calculate CCNode. Then another parameter is the canopy growth coefficient that can be derived by the program if the user just says when thus you reach maximum canopy. So in this example it's just 50 days, then the program will find what is the corresponding canopy growth coefficient. And finally there's the canopy decline coefficient, which is also determined when does it occurs and with a rate. Another example of crop information and another tab sheet is the one of water stresses, which were also mentioned by Pasquale, and this is the one for stomatal stress. So if the water content in the root zone drops below a level, here indicated here, the red level, so if the water content drops below this red line, then we will have a water stress. And this water stress the user specifies by saying which fraction, 50% in this case, which fraction of the totally available water will be depleted before stomatal stress occurs. And then the stress itself develops from 1, no stress, up to 0, full stress at the lower level, which corresponds with field capacity. And we can change also the shape of these curves. You can make it more convex or concave or linear. A final slide for the crop file is the one of the harvest index. So the harvest index is increasing from 0 at flowering, and then it increases gradually till it reaches maximum. So the user has to specify what is that maximum level, 50% here in this case. So after the database, let's have a closer look now at the simulation itself. So in the simulation, the core of the simulation is this soil water balance. So here's a simple representation of the root zone as a reservoir where water is added by rainfall and irrigation. If the water content is too high above field capacity, then we have deep percolation. And of course, water is taken out by evaporation and transpiration from the reservoir. Now, presenting the root zone as a single reservoir is not good enough, because we cannot make a separation between evaporation and transpiration. As you know, evaporation takes place at the top of the at the soil surface, and it is simulated by a Ricci type of approach. So there is a first energy limiting stage and then a declining rate stage. But transpiration takes place deeper in the root zone. So therefore, we divide the root zone into what we call compartments, in which water can be stored and water can be transferred from one compartment to the other, and water can be moved out by evaporation or transpiration. And the compartments, they belong to a particular soil layer, and the soil layer is then characterized by the physical characteristics, wilting point, field capacity, and so on. Now, during the simulation, you can follow what is happening with daily time steps, even if you like. So we can have a closer look, for example, how the water is moving in the soil. So I have here made a few screen prints in which you can see that. So between the solid particles, which are indicated in brown, you have the total pore volume. And in that pore volume, part of it is filled with water, and the other part is the air. I have indicated here also the wilting point and the field capacity. And here you see the different compartments. This is the top compartment, and then I go down deeper and deeper in the soil profile. So in the simulation, water was added. So after one day, which is this time step, you can see that the water was already infiltrated till 30 centimeters. Now this water is above field capacity, so it will gradually drain out of the soil profile. And each time I click, I advance one day. And after a few days, I'm back at field capacity here at the bottom. But at the top, a lot of water has already disappeared by soil evaporation, but also by water taken up by the roots, especially here at the top where we have more roots. Now, another way of looking at the simulation is looking at the soil water depletion. So that is the shortage of water versus a reference. And as a reference, we take here the field capacity. So soil water depletion is zero at field capacity. And if the water content decreases, so will increase also the soil water depletion and becomes maximum when we reach a wilting point. So let's have a closer look at this part of the simulation. So here I have advanced the simulation for 40 days. So here is my time axis. And here you see the soil water depletion. We started with a soil which has had field capacity, so depletion was zero. And now the depletion has increased and the soil water content in the root zone becomes smaller and smaller. Now AquaCrop plots also colored lines, a green line, there is a red line, and there is a yellow line. And these lines refers to the stresses. So we had that red line which refers to the stresses of stomatal closure. So if the water content drops below the red line, we have stomatal closure. There is the one which is normally above for leaf expansion. So it means if the water content drops below the this threshold, the crop is going to grow less quickly, less vigorously. And then we have a final one, which is that yellow one, which is the one for canopy senescence. So if the water content drops below here, the early canopy senescence will be triggered. So if I come back to the simulation, you see that here, after about 7 days, the water content dropped below this green level. So it means that the crop start growing less vigorously than what we originally thought. So in gray, it is indicated, and that is the copy of the crop file, how we thought the crop will develop if it was not water stressed. But since it is water stressed, so the canopy growth is slowed down and even becomes zero, because KS becomes zero when we are below that lower threshold. The same is true here at day 30. At day 30, we hit the red line, so the water content dropped below the threshold for stomatal closure, and we see that the stomata is going to close. So in the top is plotted the transpiration, in gray once again the potential transpiration, but starting from day 30 we see that the KS becomes smaller than 1, resulting in a transpiration which is less than the potential transpiration. So I continue the simulation till day 80, and then we see that at day 40, at day 50, 60 and 70, water was each time added by rainfall or irrigation. And consequently, we change the water content in the root zone, and then the crop can start regrowing, as it does here, and also the transpiration becomes, at a certain moment, back to potential. Now, continuously, the transpiration is is translated into biomass by means of a water productivity function. So when we know the biomass by means of that harvest index, we can calculate the yield. But here we are only at day 80, which is just 10 days after flowering, which occurred at day 70. So the harvest index is still very small, because the harvest index is going to increase from zero to its maximum level of 50%, but that is only at maturity. So here my harvest index is only, let's say, 5%, and that's the reason why the yield is at this stage, of course, still 5%. I continue the simulation till day 110, and severe water stress occurred, no water was anymore applied, and then here around day 100, we even the water content in the root zone dropped it even below the lowest threshold, which is the one for senescence. And so we have senescence, early canopy senescence, and the crop will die a little bit earlier than what we expect. So now we are at the end of the simulation, so you can once again appreciate at the end of the simulation what was the water conditions in the root zone throughout the simulation. You can see in green what was your canopy cover, completely different from what we had described in gray, which is the canopy cover when there was full water stress, and here at the top in blue we see what was the transpiration. So finally, since we know the total transpiration of the crop by means of the water productivity, we know what is the biomass. If we know the biomass, we can translate it by means of the harvest index into yield. Now let's have a little bit more information about the production. So there is another tab key which gives you somewhat more information about the harvest index, because the harvest index can also change as a result of water stresses. And that is really true. If you click on that button, you see now that the adjusted water stress is 51%, while we had indicated that the harvest index or reference harvest index is 50%. So there was an adjustment. And that is because the harvest index, they can increase above or reference level, given as 50 in the example. It can increase if there is water stress before flowering. So the crop has grown less vigorously, which was the case in our simulation. So we had at flowering only 70% of our maximum biomass production. So he resulted in an increase, this resulted in an increase of 6% of the harvest index. But if we have water stress after flowering, the harvest index can either increase if the water stress is only slight, but if the water stress becomes more severe, the harvest index can decrease and can even become zero if you're continuous at wilting point. And this happened also in the simulation. So after flowering, we had water stress, and this resulted in a decline of the harvest index of 4% simulated. And so at the end, it takes the 2 plus 6 minus 4, it means plus 2, plus 2% of 50%, that is the 51%. So to conclude, this is once again the calculation sheet which I have presented you. So the key equation is this one, is transpiration is the product of Ks times Kc times Et naught. And Et naught, it gets it from the weather data. Kc, that's a crop coefficient, which is a product of Kc top times green canopy cover, and Kc top is 1.1, 1.2, depending a little bit on the crop type. But what is important is, of course, that the green canopy cover is going to change continuously in function of the water content in the root zone. So he's adjusting his green canopy cover from the gray, which we have indicated it, and then he simulated as the green value depending on the water content. So changing of the green canopy cover will means also changing of the crop coefficient and also a difference of transpiration. And then finally there is the Ks factor, the water stress factor for stomatal closure. So if the water content drops below that red level, we have water stress and Ks becomes smaller than 1 and transpiration is reduced. Once we have the transpiration, we translate it into biomass. Oops. We translate it into biomass by means of that water productivity function. Once we have the biomass, we translate it into yield by means of the harvest index, and also the harvest index is influenced, affected by the water content in the root zone. So as a conclusion, what I wanted to present here in this presentation is that we have a lot of graphs which depict dynamically water fluxes, the root zone depletion, the green canopy cover, evapotranspiration, and there are much more graphs, so you can look at evaporation or a transpiration. You can follow the biomass accumulation and also the yield formation. And we believe that these graphs are very useful for tracking, and you can do that day by day if you like, because you can run the program in such a mode, that you can really see at all kinds of crop responses to that specific set of variables. You can switch between screens and then you can see what is happening. And also these graphs are very useful for visualizing very quickly consequences of changes in input parameters in the simulations. What happens if you have a more rainy year, or what happens if you grow your crop on a more sandy soil, or what happens if you use mulches or plant later or early in the season. So by comparing the output of the different simulations graphically, you can get a lot of information. So this concludes my talk, and I thank you for your
seats up here, if we have people that want to sit down. We have time for some questions for Dirk.
Well, for the moment, we use it, as was mentioned by Pasquale, a Delphi program. So for the moment, everything is still not available, because in the Delphi, most of the Delphi code is actually the user interface. But of course, we have different units where all the calculation procedures are there, and we are. But that will take 1 or 2 years to develop that, to separate it, and then we can give you the executable files with only the simulation part of it, and that, of course, is open access, where you can change things in it. But that not directly yet. Yes. So first of all, the capillary rise is not yet implemented. But so what it is, what we have, it is a kind of a mimic of the Richard equation, if you like. But we do not work with the Richard equation. So we have field capacity and wilting point, and also saturation. So these are the three water contents which are required for different soil layers. They can all have each other its own characteristics. And water content between saturation and field capacity is growing to decline exponentially. And that is with what we call a tau factor, which is derived, so that's a drainability factor, a drainage factor, which is derived from the KSAT. So if you have a high KSAT, the drainage will be finished in 1 day. If you have a more clayey soil, then it can take 10, 20 days even to drain. So it is an exponential decline, but the speed of the exponential decline depends on the crop type. On the salt type. So the upward flow is not yet implemented. So what we will do is also analyze data, and we have already something in mind. So we have curves for different types of soils, but we need further checking them, how accurate they are, which tells us how much water can move up for different combinations in the subsoil and the depth of the water table as well. But it's not yet implemented.
Unfortunately, we have to stop here and introduce the next speaker, but thank you, Dirk.
Okay,
I have questions for you, too.